Do you find it sometimes hard to think about things? We've got so many things today that you and I do and use to keep us from thinking. Do you know that? I said we have so many things that we use to keep us from thinking. Television, computers, games, texting, Facebook. Actually, we use those for entertainment. But that keeps us from thinking. We don't have to think about things if we're entertained. And we're a nation of being entertained. We like to be entertained. We don't like to have to think. You know, sometimes we even have that problem when we're studying the Bible. You know, there's a saying, I can't see the forest for the trees. The opposite is true sometimes Bible studying. I can't see the trees for the forest. And what will happen is we'll read over things, maybe even a list of things, and we'll see a word and we'll know that word, we'll acknowledge that word, and we'll think that's a good word that, you know, that's a good thing that we need to add to our lives, and then we usually skip it and go on. I want to challenge you just to get in the Scripture and find a word like we're going to talk about today. Kindness. Now, kindness is one of those things that you know in the back of your mind kind of what it is. And when you see the list, you know, yeah, that's a good thing. It ought to be a part of my life. And you go on. And sometimes we lose really what it's all about and what it truly means. Like I said, you can't see the tree for the forest. We study the Bible, but sometimes we don't really study the Bible. We don't really see what's there for us. And I want us to look at what goodness means. One of the fruit of the Spirit, let's look there in that passage in verse 22 of chapter 5 of Galatians. Verse 22 of chapter 5 of Galatians. The Lord's calling. All right, I can't, I always, when I hear a telephone, I always think of that song, Phone Call from Heaven. You ever heard that one? All right, beginning in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. Now, by the way, I want to mention those two together. The reason so, because some of the verses that we're going to read today, when we read it, if you've got a King James or a New King James version, it's going to read goodness instead of kindness. But guys, they're sort of interchangeable sometimes. You know, like if somebody's done something kind to us, sometimes we say, you know, that person was very good to me. So the term is kind of interchangeable sometimes when we talk about kindness and goodness. However, when we talk about goodness in the sense of maybe like the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about someone who is morally good, spiritually good, like God. The Bible says, in fact, Jesus said, remember when there was a rich young leader he was talking to? And he said, there's only one good, and that's God. So that's not something that comes easy. By the way, good means not just the absence of everything evil and dark, but good means all the good, right, just characteristics of God as well. When we talk about good. All right? Kindness. What does kindness mean? Like I said, this is one of the words that we know. This is one of the ones that, you know, we know what it means, sort of. But what does it mean? If you had to give somebody a definition who had never heard of the word kindness before, how would you define it to them? All right, treat somebody the way you want to be treated. And we're going to look at that in a few minutes because that's a passage we're going to look at. All right, what else? How would you explain it to them? Kindness. Okay, that's part of it. Absolutely. What else? My Bible says generosity and consideration. All right, generosity and consideration. Okay, that's part of it. What else? Do what? Compassion. That's part of the definition as well. Now, if you look up kindness, it's going to refer you to kind. And then when you look up kind, you're going to be really surprised what the first thing of kind means. The first definition of kind is something like mankind. We're part of mankind, or I'm kind of like that person. You have to go way down the list till you get to the bottom of the second definition of kind, which means generous. But when God tells us to be kind or show kindness, what is He saying for us to do? Okay, take care of our brothers and sisters. Let me give you a list of things, and many of them you've already talked about, but listen to them. Compassionate, humane, loving, charitable, giving, forbearance. Oh, there's one of them words again. Beneficial nature, sympathetic, generous nature, considerate, understanding, gracious, obliging, merciful, lenient. Wow.
Each one of those has a different connotation too.
Yeah. So when you think of kindness, it takes in a big, big, big area, doesn't it? Now, you know, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, a lot of times we see things in there that may be in our lives. We may see some things that's not in our lives. But guys, I want you to know something. All of us have the capacity, if we know Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to have the fruit of the Spirit manifested in our lives. Not just one of them, but all of them. God wants to manifest all of these characters in our lives. And if you know Christ, the potential is already there. The Holy Spirit already lives in your life. But you have to learn to allow Him to work in your life to manifest those things. All those wonderful things about kindness is what God wants us to show to one another. Now, I want us to look at what the Bible says, how you define kindness. Well, let's see. I think one of the best places is probably found in Luke chapter 6. Turn there for a minute. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Now, by the way, I'm reading out of the New American Standard Version today because I don't want to confuse you with the word goodness when I'm talking about kindness. All right? So we're going to start in verse 27. Now, by the way, you might understand from your scripture, especially if you have a study Bible, you may have something written over the top of it that says this is Luke's version of the Beatitudes. Okay? And you'll notice that Luke's versions of the Beatitudes are a lot shorter than Matthew's versions of the Beatitude. He kind of sums it up a little bit more than Matthew does. But guys, I'm going to read this through and I want to get to a certain place, so bear with me as we read it. All right, beginning in verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. I didn't sign on for that, did you?
You didn't read the small print.
I didn't read the small print. Well, you know, it's real easy to be kind to someone who's kind to you. It's real easy to be kind to someone who at least treats you like a human. But in God's way of thinking, He said we're to be kind to everybody no matter. And in fact, He challenges us in ways that we couldn't do it on our own. Think about that. Let me read that again. I don't want you to miss this. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other one. Hello. Now, when I was growing up, that was not the philosophy of the day. If someone hits you on the cheek, you were trying to hit them right back. And maybe both cheeks if you could get them. But Jesus challenges us that if somebody hits you on the right cheek, give them the other one to hit. Yeah, right. That's what he said. Whoever said that, that's what he said. Whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. Wait a minute. I'm telling you, I didn't sign up on this boat, did you? Raymond said I didn't read the fine print. Now here's, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. That's what we call that the golden rule. Do unto others you'd have them do unto you. You're going to do it first? No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those to whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies. Do good. And lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High. Now, don't lose this. For He, talking about God, Himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil men. Wow. Now see, it's really easy to skip over kindness as, yeah, that's what we ought to do. But when you start breaking it down to see what all that means in details to what God believes that it should be in our lives, man, that's a whole different picture. He's asking us to do hard things. He's asking us to do impossible things on our own. And guys, that's true. That is hard and impossible on your own, but it is possible with God. Hello?
Because He did the same thing for us before we were saved.
That's right.
We were the ones that were talking about He is kind and unthankful and evil.
Now, guys, I don't want to finish. I want to finish this this passage out because there's more to it. I wish it would stop right there, but He's going to really dig it a little deeper, okay? So let's go on. He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Notice that last statement. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. I don't know about you, but tops of my feet really hurt right now. You know, what God is saying is, guys, if you choose to judge people... Now, guys, I want you to not misunderstand what He's talking about. That does not mean that you don't discern between good and evil. That's not what He's talking about. In fact, the Bible tells us that we have a responsibility to bring light to darkness. We can't just go by and say, well, let's just live and let live, and we're not going... That's not what He's talking about. He's talking about when people hurt you, when people do things to you. You're to forgive. You're to be merciful. You're to even be kind to them. If they curse you, you pray for them and bless them. Wow. You want to know why the world looks at Christians today and they don't see any difference? Because we're not living it. It's not really a part of our lives. Oh, we dress it up. Man, you can take a pig out of the mud and clean him. Polish his little hooves. Clean up his fanny. Brush his teeth if you want to. But you turn him loose, he goes right back to the mud again. Guys, we cleaned it up a little. It looks better on the outside. You know, Jesus talked about that because the religious leaders tried to do that. They cleaned it up on the outside to look more spiritual to others. And Jesus said, that's great. You look like a brand new whitewashed grave. But he said, you know what's in a grave? Dead man bones. Rot and decay and stink. And even though we clean it up on the outside sometimes, we still have that stink and decay there. Because we're supposed to be changed from the inside out. Now, guys, we're talking about not just the actions, but the attitude. That kindness is an attitude on the inside. Because, you know, as a Christian, sometimes we know we're supposed to do things good and we'll do it anyhow because we're supposed to do it. God wants you to do it because you feel it. That's when he has the heart. Kindness. Wow. Well, that's the definition. Now, that's kind of hard, isn't it? Why does God show kindness? It just tells us that's part of who he is, but why does he show kindness? Have you got a clue? Well, he loves us, but there's another reason. Turn to Romans chapter 2. By the way, you're going to love this. This is in the midst of judging again. Romans chapter 2. Now, this is for somebody who thinks they're better than others. All right? Think about it. Beginning in verse 1, chapter 2 of the book of Romans. Verse 1. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this old man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Notice our next verse. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness? All right, there it is again. The richness of his kindness and tolerance and patience. Not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. So why does God show kindness to you and I? God wants to bring us to the place where you and I are willing to get our lives right with him. And that's what he desires more than anything. That's why he shows kindness to us when he didn't have to. That's why he shows grace to us when he didn't have to. We don't deserve anything that God does good for us. We don't. Amen. But he chooses to do it anyhow. He shows that goodness because he desires for you and I to repent, to turn away from our old life, to turn to him. Guys, when you show kindness, why should you do it? Not because they're nice to you, not because they're bad to you, but because, first of all, God does it, and because you want to see them right with God someday. That means enemies. That means people that treat you bad. How many people do you want to see in heaven? God wants to see everybody there. If God wants to see everybody there, shouldn't I want to see everybody there? No matter what they've done, no matter how bad they treated us. I remember two examples in the scripture, one by Christ himself and one by a disciple of Christ. What did Christ say when he was hanging on the cross? Father, forgive them. Now, this is his disciples who most of them were huddled up in a room afraid it was going to happen to them, and they didn't show up for the crucifixion because they were scared. John was there, and the ladies that had been following Jesus were there. But the other guys were somewhere huddled up, afraid it was going to happen to them next. They were scared. All right? He's also talking about the Romans who were beating him and driving the nails in his hands. He's talking about the religious leaders that brought the crowd in around and got them to cheer his crucifixion. All of those, and including all of those in the world that were sinners and would be sinners, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There was another follower of Christ that happened to as well. Who was that? A man named Stephen. Paul was there before he became Paul. His name was Saul. And Saul was doing his very best to tear up the church or the way. He was holding the coats for everybody. And when Stephen looked up into heaven and saw the face of the Lord as they were stoning him and trying to kill him, he also said almost exactly what Jesus said, but in a little different words. He said, "Father, don't put this to their charge." Now, how could you say that when you got a group out there cheering them on and a group picking up stones to stone you, and you know that you're doing the work of God and they're still trying to kill you? It'd be easy to say, "Lord, just pour that lightning to them." That's not what he said. Guys, he showed kindness to those who were killing him. Great example. Great example. By the way, another reason that God shows kindness is because it's part of his character. It's part of who he is. And the scriptures tell us it ought to be a part of who we are as believers. In fact, the next one is kindness is a characteristic of a servant of God. Listen to these verses. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, "And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and behold, the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in much affliction, in hardship, in distress, in beating, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness." One of the characteristics of a child of God is kindness. Just as it was our Savior, it is supposed to be for you and I. In fact, the Scripture says it ought to be part of a Christian walk. Listen to these words found in Ephesians chapter 4. He said, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called." Drop on down in that chapter to verse 32. It says, "Be kind to one another." Not just to be kind to the world, but we're to be kind to one another. Have you ever seen brothers and sisters in Christ fighting? Man, it's worse than any cat fight you ever saw. "In the name of Jesus, I slay you." Come on. The Bible tells us that we're to be kind one to another as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what that means? You don't always get your way. Doesn't mean you're always going to be the winner. You're going to let somebody else. You know, for some of us, that's hard. I want you to hear my plan. I want my plan to get through. Kindness lets somebody else's plan. And that's kind of tough. Did you know that we have been chosen to have a heart of kindness? God chose us to be kind. This is found in Colossians 3. Verse 12, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing one another, forgiving each other. And whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Wow. Do we act like that? All you got to do is read Facebook. Guys, I got a feeling that Jesus blushes. And I'm not talking about the sexual innuendos that are there. I'm talking about just how mean we are. Have you looked at Facebook? We ought to have confession every day. Everybody ought to stand before the Lord that's on Facebook, because I'm going to tell you, it's bad. Say, brother, you're judging us. No, God is. I'm not on Facebook. Just for that reason. What if I'm having a bad day and it's on a Monday? Somebody's hurt my feelings on Sunday. You know what I'd be tempted to do? And they can't even whack me back. Guys, you don't have to say everything that's on your mind. My mama didn't understand that. You know, it always killed me, because I'd always hear somebody say about my mama, oh, it's so refreshing to see an honest person. Hey, buddy, there were some of those things you didn't want to hear when my mama said them. All right? You don't have to be brutally honest. Have you heard that term, brutally honest? My mom was brutally honest sometimes. That's not the way to do things. In fact, the Bible says not to tear down, but to build up. Well, Brother Terry, that all sounds good, but how can we have it? Because most of us don't. How can we have kindness? The kind the Bible talks about, not the kind the dictionary talks about, the kind the Bible talks about. How can we have all of that? I'm glad you asked. Let's go back to where we started in Galatians. We're going to start in verse 13, chapter 5, verse 13. And by the way, this first statement, please underline in your Bible. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. As a believer, we have freedom in Christ. That does not mean that you can take your mouth and shoot it off when you want to. Hello? You have freedom of speech in America. Does that mean you need to say everything? No. Freedom has responsibility with it. Amen. And that's what the Bible's talking about. If you have freedom in Christ, use your mouth, your brain, your texting for His honor and glory. All right? That's what he's saying in that passage. I'm sorry, can't get around it. But let's go on, because there's some other things there. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, and in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. All right, this is what I want you to see. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. That's the secret right there. Who's winning? Oh, okay, I was just kidding. So how do you walk in the Spirit?
Surrender.
I do not mean getting drunk either, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. How do you walk in the Spirit? Huh? Actually, Curtis, I think it's more than daily. I think you have to go to Him quite often during the day and say, Lord, I want to follow You. I want to be the one who lets You live through me.
That's where that verse, be constantly in prayer, comes
from. Be constantly in prayer. That's right. You have to be. You and I in the flesh can't do it, guys. We can't. We can't. You may have a certain personality that makes it easier for you to do certain things in the Scripture than other people, but still, to be that kind person the Bible talks about, you've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to do that. You can't do it on your own. And guys, I want to tell you something. God can help you like somebody you don't like. It is. Guys, it has to be where you allow God to work in your life. And it has to be part of your prayer life. It has to be ongoing. It's not something you get victory overnight. I wish it was. I wish, you know, you could just pray it, it's gone. I wouldn't have to worry about it no more. Wouldn't that be great?
Lay hands on and done with it.
Yeah. You know, it'd be great. And sometimes God does work that way. Okay, I want you to understand, God does work that way sometimes. To help you forgive somebody, to help you like somebody you don't like, a lot of times it's a process. And it takes you going back constantly in your prayer, seeking God and trying to follow God as He leads you to do that. And guys, before you know it, He'll make those changes there. He really will. The great thing about being a Christian is Jesus is alive. We don't have an idol up here we're just looking at that we lay hands on every week. We're talking about a living God who cares and He's a part of our lives. And He can make the changes in our lives. But guys, God won't make the changes unless we're willing to let Him make changes.
Amen.
He doesn't force anything on anybody. God gave us free will. That's why He talked about in here, you have freedom in Jesus, only don't use that freedom for wrong. So that means we got the capacity to do wrong, obviously. So you got to use it for right. And to do it right, you got to have His power and strength. The funny thing, he starts this whole section about walking in the Spirit. Notice how he also closes the section about the spiritual gifts. Drop down to verse 22, it talks about the spiritual gifts. And in fact, he said there's no law against such as this. And in verse 24, he says, now those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. You gotta let Him in. And you gotta stay constantly in contact with Him. And you gotta be obedient when He leads you to do something. When you hit your finger with a hammer and you're about to say something bad, say praise the Lord anyway. Hey, you get in the habit of that, it turns out pretty good. You get in the habit of saying the other thing. Do what? Sometimes. You know, what's really bad is when you're right-handed and you use the left hand, you get that thing so sore you can't hold the nail, and you have to move a cover to a couple other fingers. By the end of the day, it's bad. Building a fence is rough, brother. It is. Bill says, I don't have that problem. I have an air gun. You ever seen anybody nail themselves to something, Bill? The hammer, at least you get over in a short time, okay? Guys, there is no shortcuts, I want you to know, to living the Christian life. But if you allow the Lord to work in your life, He does some great things through you. The Bible says God shows us kindness because He wants us to repent. We're to show the world that same kind of kindness because they need to hear it. They need to hear about God. They need to hear about forgiveness. They need to hear about love. They need to hear about kindness because it's not in the world right now. We just soon shoot each other over religion. Blow something up. Instead of teaching about the God of love that really cares and can make a difference in your life. Let's pray.